This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to Fender Bender on a Saturday.
We're revving up Sundays.
We're very gifted at that. My name is Tim Nicholson. This is Fender Bender. We like to talk about cars almost as much as we like sex. That may or may not be true, but we'll get to that at another point. Lots on today, and we're joined, as always, by the wonderful Mike Costello. Mike, thank you for being here.
Hello.
And we've got a special guest star who I would say is kind of like the Heather Locklear of Fender Bender, Byron Matthew Darkus. Byron, welcome.
I can't remember Heather's her character name in Dynasty.
Oh, Dynasty, I don't know. She was Amanda Woodward in Melrose Place.
Right, no. Yeah. It was Sammy Joe. Hi, I'm Sammy Joe.
Oh, my God.
For Fender Bender this week.
Thank you, thank you.
You can be.
Who can I be?
Well, you're clearly Lexus.
Yes! Oh my God, that's such a good show. There's rumours of them bringing it back, but you know, that's for another show to talk about, most likely. Now, we've got lots coming up on the show today. We're travelling to Europe with Byron.
Yes.
We're going to talk about your European adventures. Mm-hmm. In particular, later we'll be talking about something called the Renault Twizy.
Twizy. And, you know, if you're near a computer, maybe you should call up the Twizy, T-W-I-Z-Y, so you'll know what we're talking about, because there needs to be a bit of an explanation as to exactly what it is, because it ain't a car.
That's it. It's a bit confusing, but we might even put something up on Facebook while this song is on so people can see it. We're going to talk about a few other things. We're going to interview a bloke named Simon Reichart, who is promoting 65 Roses Day, which is through Cystic Fibrosis Australia, and is looking to raise money for research, which is very, very lovely. And we've even got Facebook and Twitter, which is Fender Bender Joy. So just head over there and like us, because that's awesome. You are listening to Fender Bender. We've got lots more coming up soon. Kelly says he's ready to go, but it sounds like he's not at all. Oh my God. That was Martin Solvig featuring Kelly with Ready to Go, with a slightly abrupt.
But no, literally, ending. He was ready to go and he just left.
He
abruptly.
Did, didn't he?
But he said he was ready. He did warn us.
Yeah. That's a shame. That's a good song. Bit of a boppy one. Yeah. Bit of Kelly.
It's a bit of a workout song, you know. I can imagine being on a treadmill. Not that
that's
I ever
true.
Work out.
No.
Not that you know it.
Pish posh. You are listening to Fender Bender. It is a drizzly Saturday afternoon here in Melbourne town. Hopefully it's better weather if you're somewhere in a different part of Australia or indeed the world. Maybe you've podcast some of our things by going to joy.org.au/FenderBender to download our amazing podcasts and hear us all the time, anywhere. It's very amazing technology these days, guys.
Well, you know, you can listen to you anywhere in the world, and that's
a pretty hot thought.
Yep.
Yeah, let's be honest. Mm. Now, this week it's been a bit of a funny one. I don't want to go too far to say this, but it doesn't seem like it's been the biggest week for kind of motoring news this week. Would you say, guys? There's been bits.
Well, yeah, I think it comes in waves, and
things do peak and trough.
And we are between kind of motor shows at the moment, so that's probably a good reason.
Like, yeah,
there was Beijing a couple of weeks ago, and before that Geneva, and before that, you know, Detroit. So I think it's going to be pretty quiet until probably Paris.
Yeah, right.
It's a motor show.
Yeah, third quarter. Yep. And probably the most interesting thing to happen this week was the monthly sales figures came out, and Mazda has leapfrogged Holden for the month.
Yeah,
which is kind of, you know, this has been coming for a little while. I'm sure you agree.
But this is the first time ever this has happened, right?
Yes, it is. It is the first time. And, you know, it's in stark contrast, and this is another topic, so I'm going to... You can tell me off a bit later at this mic, but it's in stark contrast to how Mazda is performing in the rest of the world, where they recorded a $1.3 billion loss, and Australia is basically the only place in the world that's, you know, into Mazdas. So
it's quite interesting. We've always been, for some reason, one of Mazda's biggest markets per sale. Like, their dominance here is pretty rare for them as a company. What I like about Mazda, though, is they're kind of broke now because they've invested all their money in all these new cars and interesting new technology. They've spent all this money and they've made all this cool stuff, and now they're kind of broke. But I have to respect them for at least being interesting about it.
Giving it a red hot go.
And they have a history of coming out with kooky and sometimes crazy cars.
Yeah. Like the rotary, and now it's a Skyactiv thing. And then they go bust, and then they make a string of boring cars because they got no money, and then the whole cycle begins again.
Yes, it's true. But to answer your question, yes, it's never happened before. I think Holden's never conceded its position to Mazda. So
it won't be the first time this happens, I wouldn't have thought, though. Yeah. The Mazda 3, of course, is the biggest selling car in Australia, and they've got this new CX-5 four-wheel drive that's just killing it. And new 6 around the corner.
Yep, at Paris, that's coming as well.
And yeah, the CX-5 has gone gang. And I think the 2 is still the top-selling car in its class, is it not?
For the year.
Or about
for the year. But I was going to say, but you know, it wasn't the best-selling car this month, was it, Mike?
Yaris.
Or Tim.
What?
I'm talking about the overall best-selling vehicle.
Oh, no.
Of course, no, it wasn't, no.
Good point. It was indeed the Hilux. Correct. Toyota's workhorse that's been around. This model has just been refreshed, I believe, but it's been around for a few years now.
2005, I believe.
If we're going to talk about tradies, I'll leave that one to you, because you always seem to find, you know, things to talk about.
That's true. Any excuse.
Although, in related news, Mazda and Ford increased production of the VT50 and the Ranger, designed, developed and engineered in Australia, I should say.
Yeah.
Due to a high global demand. So,
that's fantastic. Yes, that's good news, isn't it?
That is really good news.
Because they were quite hit hard by the floods, as a lot of companies were. So that's been a bit of a slow start for both of those cars in this country, right?
It has. But it may seem like, you know, ute sales built in Thailand, what does it really matter? But it's actually very important, because the Ranger, as we've said, was designed and engineered in Australia for the global market. And it's very, very important, if Ford is going to remain in Australia, that the cars that they put out actually work. Yeah. And the Range is really taking off internationally.
Yep.
So this is a very important thing.
Indeed. And I read in Go Auto this week, in the PDF that comes out every week, that...
The one that we contribute to?
Yeah, that's right. that's right. Yep.
Of course.
That that Ford is... they're advertising for more engineers in this country and designers. So, you know, people may speculate or be doomsayers.
I've been told on good authority that they're definitely looking to increase and grow down there, and that can only mean one thing, that, you know, there are more things in the pipeline. So that's very good news. It's always grim and doom and gloom about the Australian car industry, but this is actually a good story.
Yeah.
You know? Something happy.
There is a lot of doom and gloom out there, and I kind of get a bit annoyed at that, because there's not a huge amount of support in the media, I think, for the Australian car industry. It is very doom and gloom.
Yeah, car journos are just the worst.
Pack of jerks. But, you know, there's a big reason why, you know, the Falcon and the Commodore aren't selling. There's a bunch of reasons. There's a lot of reasons. But a big one is the fact that there's so many more models in this market than there used to be, so people have got more choice. So of course the numbers are going to go down. That's
correct.
Just logical.
And cars have never been cheaper in the real world, and little cars have never been cheaper. So it's, you know, there's, and that ties in with what you were saying, Tim, about you know, more choice. People, you know, they can pay less and get something of almost equal space or performance or economy.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Lots more to talk about. We'll be back to talk about a car that is named after a dog very shortly. You're listening to Defender Bender.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Fender Bender. We are here with Mike and Byron. We're talking about cars. And I did mention a small minute ago about Kia's latest enormous car. Mike, what's going on there?
They've got this big Mercedes S-Class size luxury car that they've just released in Korea, and it's going to go to some international markets, not to Australia, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your viewpoint. What really interested me, and what interested me as a writer of headlines, is the name of this car. So they've got the K5 and they've got the K7, and these are two smaller sedans, and they've called this one the K9.
Who let the
number
dogs
K
out?
And the number 9.
That is ridiculous.
There's so many puns there.
I know, right?
But we're not going to stoop that low, are we?
No. I've lost some. I thought I was going to just get it.
I saw your mind ticking over there. Yeah. But the point is, I mean, this is a big car, and it's called K9.
And it's rear drive.
Is it? Is that their first attempt at rear wheel drive?
Well, it's a reskinned
Hyundai Equius, Genesis. One of the two, because of course Hyundai and Kia are one and the same. Mm-hmm. It's a big luxury sedan, and this, I guess what this shows is how far the Korean manufacturers have come when they can make a legitimate, genuine contender to the big Euros. The BMW 7 Series, like the Mercedes S-Class, these kind of cars, because this is what it's being pitched against.
Do you think they're barking mad to think that they...
you had to.
I was just sitting there going, come on.
For that one.
But, you know, surely people in the market for something like an S-Class or something like that aren't even going to consider... I know it's not coming to this country, but surely. Would they? People wouldn't consider a Kia in the same...
Look, my personal thing is they're not quite there yet. Mm. They're not there just yet. Mm. I think, and what Hyundai's talked about doing, and they're probably not going to do it now, but would be to do what Toyota did and establish another brand, like a Lexus or a Nissan did the Infiniti. Mm. So they've got this new badge. It's not tied down by the reputation of its parent company. Mm. There's been talk Hyundai would do this with a Genesis brand and Kia, who knows? Not at this stage, it's probably not going to happen. But I think if they're ever going to legitimately have a luxury car, they'd have to get rid of the badge. Because unfortunately, as good as the car is, people still have these misconceptions about it.
It's true.
Indeed. Yeah. And it's, I mean, they have to start somewhere in terms of, you know, a groundswell of support for this sort of car.
Yeah.
And so I think this is going to be like a, you know, a 20-year project, you know, before they, you know, they can legitimately...
Yeah.
You know, be an equal to the S-Class or the A8 in the eyes of the consumer. And that's what it's all about, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. What's Honda? Honda's got Acura. That will never come here. Well...
No, well, Acura's left-hand drive, I think, only in this stage, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but the vehicles they do have, or some of them are right-hand drive compatible. Like, there are Acura versions of the Accord Euro and even the Civic as well as the Legend. So the issue here, when Honda was going well in this country, and that was until about 2007, 2008, they talked about launching the Acura brand in around 2012. If their sales targets had been hit, but then the GFC happened and a bunch of dumb decisions about product... back in Japan and North America really stymied creativity.
Yep.
And that's why at the moment Honda cars haven't really been pressing people's buttons like they used to.
They're a little dull. They used to be the BMW of Japan.
Yeah.
And now they're really... It's disappointing, the stuff that they're coming out with. The Accord Euro is still a great car. But and, other than that...
And the CRZ is a good thing.
It's a fun car to drive.
Wheels car of the year, I believe.
That's right. Mm. Yes, it is a wheels car of the year and a worthy one at that, I should say.
Yes, I'm sure you would, Byron.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, you were involved, I believe.
More disclosure there as a judge. But yeah, I think all the top six finalists were very worthy as well. So,
are you allowed to say what you voted for, or are you not allowed to say that?
I'll have to kill you.
Okay.
Or...
And every
put you in a canine.
Out there, so if you don't want to die, hands over ears.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
No, but I think Honda are on the turnaround as far as you know, as getting more interesting product is concerned. And but to answer your question, Acura, no.
No, yep. Ba-pow. No.
Ba-pow.
Well, so. Something we might be getting here, I saw during the week, I don't know if you guys have seen this, I saw this quite late in the piece. Do you remember Lada?
Oh,
how could I forget?
Oh, Lada, yes.
This is a weird childhood thing. I had a weird obsession with the Lada Samara Deluxe.
Oh, Jesus.
How young are you? You've got to go Lada Niva.
You know, Peter Brock did a version of that car.
Yes, I do.
Yes. Yeah.
That is alarming.
Poor old Peter might have needed money at some point.
They were, for those of you who don't know, it's with a Russian brand who were out here in the late 80s, early 90s.
Actually, later
than that.
No. Early. Sorry, I don't mean to correct both of you. But
No.
It was the Niva that really trailblazed Lada in Australia in the 80s. It was a little four-wheel drive, off-road vehicle, which had some Golf DNA, I believe. Golf 1 DNA.
The only problem with Lada Niva is that it rusted quite quickly.
Okay.
That's coming from a country boy who probably would know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Many a rusted hunk of metal in the shape of a Lada Niva.
Right.
Yeah.
But they were like the first kind of compact SUV kind of thing.
Well, they were proto. Absolutely. Yeah. But I want to get back to your obsession with the Samara.
I don't know. I used to write lists. Every week I had this book of lists, my top 10 songs, my top 10 movies, and my top 10 cars for the week. Yeah. And in my head I would play over my top 10 cars. Somehow the Lada Niva, Lada Samara Deluxe made it to the top. I'm not sure what I was going through at the time. Obviously, some
a difficult
issues.
Phase.
Well, the car was
obviously.
Look, in its defence, it was a neatly styled. I think it could have been a Quagliaro design. maybe? It was a neatly designed car with a terrible grill, but overall a nicely packaged thing that just was terrible to drive and just didn't hold together. And it was, it really was cheap and nasty. Yeah. And it came at the, you know, at the end of the Iron Curtain era. Yeah. So,
Well, there's now whispers of them coming back, but under the name, I think it's, I can't pronounce this properly. I'm sure I'm going to stuff it up. Avtovaz.
Avtovaz.
Is that, is that
no, that's
it is?
Autovaz.
Is that what it is? Yeah,
the V.
It's,
no, the V and the U. You substitute the U with the V. Oh.
It's a bit like Bvlgari.
Bvlgari.
So how do we say it? Autovaz.
Auto. That sounds slightly rude.
Well, it's probably not going to be called that because it's coming. I think I'm stealing your thunder.
No, please.
It's Renault. Took a large chunk of this company a little while back, but now they took, I think they've completely taken it over.
Mm.
And it's their foray into the booming Eastern European market led
is
by Russia.
Is it booming?
Yeah. Absolutely. And and this is basically Renault Nissan really want to be kings of the world eventually, if you listen to them. And they plan to do this with things like the Autovaz cars or the Larders.
What really interests me about this is the Renault-Nissan group have got a couple of brands now they sell in developing markets. They've got Lada, they've got Dacia, which the Top Gear boys are always talking about. And the other one is, we talked about this recently, is Nissan going to bring back the Datsun badge.
Which excites me no end.
That's their take, I suppose, on the developing market brand, Datsun.
And there's Venucia for China.
Correct.
Yep, so...
Oh, that's what was that one? That's the
Venucia,
and that's the leaf that
they've rebadged
the
leaf.
A Venusia.
No. Sorry,
we've just given away. We've just given
away.
We promised we wouldn't give that away.
Yeah. It's Venetia blind.
Right.
Actually, no, it's duty free. But yes, no, I saw the Venusia through all these names like the Autovaz, Venusia, the Viaggio.
It's
everything's very vaginal at the moment. I don't know what that's about, but anyway.
Yeah.
So that could be exciting if that comes here. I'm not sure if it is exciting. Now, Byron, you've just recently returned from a very lengthy trip overseas. You've been gallivanting around Europe, driving lots of amazing cars, I believe.
Well, I've been really lucky. It was it wasn't very lengthy in that it was 3 weeks, but it was working every single day, driving a bunch of cars. But the highlight, undoubtedly, was the Renault Twizy, which is not a car.
No.
It's not a motorbike. It's
it's not a bird. It's not a plane.
It's in that dark, in that grey area known as the quadricycle.
What?
Let me just briefly explain. A quadricycle is, in the European sense, and this car is designed for Amsterdam, Paris, London, and Rome. Specifically, it's basically to get people off those large scooters, which are booming in those cities and in those
scooters.
Yeah, you see, some of them are three wheelers.
They're like bastardized motorbikes.
Yeah. Piaggios. Mm. They've got like a double wheel at the front and a wheel at the back, and they, I guess, since before the GFC, but certainly in terms of getting around more cheaply, they've really hit. Found a massive niche in Europe. And so Renault has decided to combat that with its version of a scooter. Mm. But what they've done is they've created a four-wheeled scooter. It still has a steering wheel, but it's centrally mounted driving position.
Right.
It's probably a little, it's about 2 meters, about 1.5 meters wide. It's much smaller than a Smart. And you sit tandem front to rear in this car called the Twizy, and it has an electric drivetrain,
and it has scissor doors like a Lamborghini Countach.
Optional for 500 euros extra, you can get
they're
scissor
optional?
Doors. They're optional. That's right.
Oh my God,
I'd be ticking that box.
So anyway, the point is that it's a narrow four wheeled two seater city car that's completely electric.
Right.
And the point is that you drive it up to, you can go as fast as 81 kilometers an hour, because if you exceed that, or if you exceed 500 kilograms, or if you exceed a certain power kilowatt rating, it turns into a car.
I see. Yeah.
So you don't need a full license to drive a Twizy, is that right?
No, you do if you get the depowered version, which is called the Twizy 45, which is limited to 45 kilometers an hour. And they're basically, off the record, people at Renault will tell you they're for people who have lost their driver's license, for instance, or who don't know how to get their driver's license or that sort of thing. But but let me just talk the Twizy up. It's I think it's a solution to future mobility in cities, because it is fun to drive. It's got a very low center of gravity. You sit in the middle of the car as if it was a McLaren F1.
Wow.
And because it's electric, all its torque comes in instantly, and it's rear-wheel drive as well.
Yep.
So it and Renault Sport did the suspension and steering tuning.
Oh,
so
wow.
It actually handles like a, you know, like it's on roller skates.
Jeez.
And you get about 70 kilometer range from a charge, and it only takes 3.5 hours to recharge at the snail's pace.
Yeah.
That is our electricity.
Of course.
Outputs in Australia, or much quicker if you use a fast charger.
Mm.
And in Europe, they cost about $8,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And what they
so we're at motorbike prices then for that.
Yeah,
it's upper spec scooter and motorbike pricing, and what it offers you is four wheeled stability, good weather protection.
Mm.
Although there are no doors per se, there are some scissor doors that open and shut, which provide protection from splashing puddles and that sort of thing. And the vehicle is remarkably refined on the freeway, because we were driving this around Ibiza, but there are some motorways, and we were doing, we were going full pelt at 80 kilometres an hour or 81 kilometres an hour, and it wasn't being buffeted, and you didn't feel like you were driving something too small or insubstantial. And frankly, the concept just works, but the problem for Australia, and Renault wants to bring it to Australia, is that the government sees it as a car because it's got four wheels and a steering wheel, and it doesn't meet all car crash test requirements as a result.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I don't know if I'd feel enormously safe in something like that.
Well, it's much, 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 much safer than, say, being hit while you're riding a scooter.
Well,
and
of course.
And the point is, and Renault has pretty much, they crash tested this vehicle, not under the ANCAP, or the ANCAP rather, regime, but their own internal regime, which pretty much mirrors what a car would go through. The only thing where it is substantially behind a vehicle in terms of safety is if the car is it fails the pole test. So
side
if the
impact,
car goes
essentially.
Well, if a pole, if you can imagine a car careering sideways into a pole, which is one of the big tests, because it doesn't have any side doors or any side protection, you aren't protected. But that's it.
That's the problem.
Yep.
But we think then, and I'm sure you're advocating, then why pick it up, is Australia needs, a category in between bikes and cars.
As they do in Europe.
Mm.
Yep.
What else is there in the world that could come here that could also fill that category?
Well, apparently, there's a bunch of cars such from Opel and Audi and Volkswagen. The Volkswagen Nils springs to mind from the Frankfurt Motor Show last year, which is conceptually a similar sort of vehicle.
Mm.
And they all fall into the quadricycle category. Now, I correct myself. Quadricycle is different to quadracycle.
Oh, that's just confusing.
The quadracycle is what we know as ATVs, those off-road tractor type things. So,
okay. Hmm. Beautiful.
So this could be the way of the future for urban mobility. This is where we're heading, and I think Australia needs to play catch up.
Well, this is it. And I've popped a picture up on the Facebook site, and we'd love to know what you think, because it's a very interesting
Can you
looking.
See yourself getting behind the wheel of one of these? I know I can. I think they're awesome.
I would do it for a bit of fun, but would I buy one?
Oh, I think you'd be a convert.
Actually, I live in North Fitzroy. I would fit.
You would
right
fit right in.
You
just need to put a little basket on the front and disconnect the brakes, and you'd have a fixie twizzy,
oh
and you would
God.
Be set.
I'd and, be and the hipster I really want to be.
And your loved one straddling you from behind, because it's a tandem seat.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well,
slow down.
No, you are listening to Fender Bender. We've got more coming up, and we'll be very shortly talking to Simon Reichardt about 65 Roses Day. Bit of B-52s there, guys. Bit of Rome. Fans of the song?
Oh, absolutely.
How could you not be, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
That's face facts. We're just talking about music. 90s music, 80s music, lots of music. I would like to also thank the wonderful Brian from Heidelberg Heights, who's just become a new Joy member. Thank you very much, Brian. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Brian.
We hope you enjoy everything that comes with being a Joy member. lots of emails and lots of things else, other things that are fun as well. So enjoy, enjoy. We love having you here. Now, we've got somebody on the line now. There is a wonderful thing coming up very soon called 65 Roses Day, which is run through Cystic Fibrosis Australia, and that raises money for vital research and services to help extend the lives of Australians with cystic fibrosis. Over the last 30 years, there's been an increase, they've helped increase the average life expectancy from 17 to 37, which is pretty impressive, but they obviously still need a bit of help. And right now we're talking to somebody pretty extraordinary. We've got the lovely Simon Reichardt on the line. Simon, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. How are you?
Well, thanks for joining us today.
G'day, Simon.
Hey, Simon.
Now, listen, you've been named an everyday hero as a part of 65 Roses Day. How does that make you feel?
It sounds good. So, yeah, I enjoy being a part of it. It's, I suppose I want to make a difference, and that's the best way to do it at the moment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And tell us a little bit about 65 Roses Day.
It's a day to recognise people with cystic fibrosis. We want to raise money, as much money as we can, to go to research and support for finding a cure. Until we find a cure, we need to provide a better quality of life than what we already have for people with cystic fibrosis.
Absolutely. And you're a sufferer of cystic fibrosis yourself, is that right?
Yes, correct.
And how does that affect your daily life? Like, I mean, obviously that it's taking up a lot of your time during the day, is that right?
Yeah, I in the mornings I wake up, I have a lot of treatments to do, nebulizers, tablets to take. This is morning and night as well. It probably takes a couple of hours a day away from my time. Mm. Plus on top of that, I've got work as well, so it really takes up all my day. So it does make it hard.
Absolutely. Yeah, you work full-time as well, right?
Yeah, I work at a super cheap auto. I do 43 hours a week there.
All right. Oh, God, busy boy.
Puts us to shame.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, look, the reason you're on our show as well, of course, because of this, but you're involved in motorsport. So tell us about your involvement in Formula 500.
I've been a part of the class for 4 years now. I've always loved Speedway, so I decided I had to race something, and that was the highest class I could afford to race. It's not a cheap sport, but I absolutely love it, and there's probably nothing else I'd rather do.
Awesome, awesome. And so for listeners out there, what Formula 500, because I had a bit of a look online, and I was like, is it Speedway, is it something else?
Yeah, it is a Speedway. It's for those familiar with sprint cars, it's basically a three-quarter size sprint car. They run 600cc bike engines on methanol. They're almost as quick as the sprint cars, but yeah, it's on a speedway track. We go left all the time.
Hmm. All right. And does having cystic fibrosis, has that affected your driving or anything like that?
I get very tired easily. We have short races. The heat races are only about 10 laps, but that is a struggle for me to do. I do get through it, but the feature races at the end of the night, they're sometimes 20 or 30 laps, and at the moment there's not really a chance that I could get that far without pretty much losing all feeling in my arms.
All right.
Simon, Byron here. How you going?
Yeah, good, mate.
Good, good. How long have you been involved in this sport?
I've followed Speedway my whole life, but it's just the end of my fourth season now, actually racing myself. I did do go-karts before that. Mm-hmm. For a couple of seasons, but that just wasn't for me. I needed to be on the Speedway.
You had a need for speed, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'm almost afraid to ask what you normally drive, in your off-Speedway hours.
A BA Falcon GT, actually.
Oh,
nice.
Good one. with the V8 and... I can't remember what's the V8 in that engine called, the Boss,
the Windsor, wasn't it?
Oh, it's
the
Boss.
The 260.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Good one. Good one.
Awesome.
Have you modified it?
No, I haven't. I don't have enough time. I'd love to.
Yeah.
I don't have the time, but yeah, I pretty much put everything I got into the Speedway. So the daily is just the daily at the moment.
And I believe about a year or two ago, there was the Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Formula Cup that I think you and a mate started. How did that go?
It went quite well. We had a lot of cars from around the country turn up. It was all about awareness. So I actually ran a paint scheme on my car, which was to do with cystic fibrosis, which was, I think, successful. People liked it. It was something different. But yeah, I just had the word cystic fibrosis with a huge question mark after it. So hopefully people ask the question as to why I had a question mark after those words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, do you think that will happen again at some point?
We would like to do it annually.
Yep.
It is in the process of, I suppose we're talking about it at the moment.
Yep.
We're looking to do it as an event without a feature race.
Yep.
So it's just heat races, which is, I suppose, beneficial to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it just sort of makes people ask the question as to why we're not doing a feature race.
Now, so 65 Roses Day, it's coming up on the 25th of May. The target is $100,000 to raise. At the moment, it's just over $25,000, I think they've raised.
Yep.
What can people do, Simon, if they want to find out a bit more or actually donate?
They can go onto the CF Australia website. If you type cystic fibrosis into Google, a lot of things come up. In terms of donating, you can go onto the Everyday Hero webpage. You can search charity, which comes up with cystic fibrosis, and then you can actually select individual fundraisers like myself.
Yep.
And you can donate onto their page by credit card, or you can do a pledge, you can even do a check, I believe.
Beautiful. So if people want to find you, it's Simon Reichelt, and you've got a Facebook page as well for that, as I believe.
I do, correct.
Excellent. Well, look, Simon, good luck to you. We wish you the best, and hopefully you guys can get to that $100,000 mark. That would be fantastic.
No worries. Thank you for the
opportunity. Beauty. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So that was Simon Reichelt talking about 65 Roses Day, which is on the 25th of May, and you can go to 65rosesday.org.au if you would like to donate. There is more of Fender Bender just around the corner.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9 this Saturday afternoon. It looks like it's about 7 p.m. at night outside, but it's
pretty miserable.
It's really sad, isn't
it? What a
7 degrees, I think, outside.
Wow, that was extremely high. Wow.
Sorry. Was that a bit hurting?
No, it's more than that, but it feels it.
What a good story that was, this Simon Reichelt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's obviously a very worthwhile cause, and he's very passionate
about
cars. To be
able to drive, you know, as he does, plus work, it's a...
Yeah.
And amazing stuff.
I read how much he has to do each day, and there's one pill he's got to take like 30 or 40 times a day.
Yeah.
It's just bananas. You just can't imagine it.
But he does have a Falcon GT.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So good for him. Good for him. Now, we were talking before about the Renault Twizy as a part of Byron's European... I keep saying
Sounds
Tweezy.
Like a chocolate bar, doesn't
it? It's Twizy, isn't it?
Yeah, Twizy. Yep. Twizy, which stands for twin, as in twin seat. Izzy, as in easy... And also Zeddy, as in zero emission. There's nothing I don't know about the Twizy. I was immersed and brainwashed, and
you
the Twizy will take over and exterminate.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
But you obviously drove a few other things.
I did. Moving from a Renault... Well, I quickly drove the Renault Megane S265, the Renault Sport hot hatch, which just is exactly like the car you get at the moment, but like 5% faster, 5%.
And ask anyone with their salt, and the RS Renault Megane is the best hot hatch on the market.
It looks, I tell you what, when you see like a black one on the street,
horn.
I think it total horn.
I like them in yellow.
It's hot. Yeah,
yellow's a hero colour. But this really has taken the mantle from the Golf GTI. It's run with it, and it's absolutely brilliant car.
Well, you will get no argument from me. But over at Peugeot.
The Peugeot.
The Peugeot, that's right, yep.
The cars with the big schnozzers. I believe that's Changer. They don't have noses.
It has changed. And we went to the design factory there, and they assured us that all Peugeots from here on in will be elegant and yet sophisticated.
That's
much like you, man.
Oh, thanks, Byron.
Yes. Anyway, I drove the new 208, the Ford Fiesta competitor, or the Renault Clio competitor.
Yeah,
or
little light
Polo
car.
Competitor. Yep, light car. It'll be here towards the end of the year. On the first day, we drove the four-cylinder ones in 1.6 petrol and diesel. And, you know, I thought it was... almost as sporty as a Fiesta and almost as refined as a Polo. So, you know, up there, but it didn't really rock my world.
Okay.
But then I drove, get this everyone, I drove the 208 with a 1.2-litre three-cylinder petrol engine.
What the crap?
What the crap? It's the base model with a little three-pot petrol, and it blew my mind.
Wowzers.
It weighs 100 kilograms less, and that's all over the nose. So it's 100 kilograms lighter than the 1.6 four-cylinder engine cars.
Yeah, right.
And it just transforms this car into Peugeot, the way Peugeots used to be, like right. The way, you know, I mean, it's got a feeling of the 205 and the 206 in the way it handles and steers.
Yep.
There's a lightness and a controllability and an on-throttle adjustability that we thought was, you know, just history as far as that Lion badge was concerned. So
what I love about this car is it's one of the few modern cars that's lighter than its predecessor. Every generation of car you see from other brands gets heavier with more equipment, more safety, bigger, etc. This is, 150 or 200 kilos lighter?
173 at its most maximum.
And the 207 that it replaces.
That's right. And it's smaller physically. It's got a smaller footprint. It it uses far less fuel and therefore has fewer CO2s.
Mm.
I mean, Mazda...
Bon magnifique.
Mazda got the ball rolling with a Mazda 2 back in 07, the current DE series Mazda 2, but this 208, it just transforms it, and suddenly it makes it a real class contender. So, folks, you know, towards the end of the year, if you're thinking of buying a bit of a posh baby car, and you look at the specifications and think, three-cylinder, what?
So the three-cylinder's coming here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be their price leader. So, you know, it's worth hanging out for.
And don't write three-cylinders off, because Ford's going to stick one under their Focus bonnet quite soon. And the Focus is significantly bigger, and it goes well in that. So in a small car like the Peugeot, no dramas whatsoever.
Gee, it's exciting to see this. It really, like, as you're saying, just the obviously size as they kind of keep growing, and the size of something like a Cruise or whatever is the size of a Commodore when that first started. So it's not really a small car anymore. But to see an engine size reduction, I think, is fantastic. And it's obviously the sign of the times, and that's the direction it has to go in.
Well, it creates a virtuous circle, because a lighter engine, a smaller engine, means less fuel and less CO2 and better handling and smaller brakes, because you don't need to stop it as fast, because as hard, because there's not that much weight. It is a virtuous circle. So good on you, Peugeot, for coming up with a three-pot 208.
Mm.
On the topic of small cars, briefly, we've just had a message from Michael asking us about the Suzuki Swift Sport.
Ah.
And we did talk about this recently.
I did
the review quite recently. I've driven both the manual and the CVT. I drove it on the Broadford race circuit. I was fortunate enough to do so. And I'll tell you, mate, it's just about the funnest thing you can buy for 23, 24 grand. Have one in a heartbeat. Just don't buy the CVT auto. Buy the manual.
Or hang out and petition Renault to bring three Twizzies in for the same price.
Precisely. Although they wouldn't be 8 grand if they came here, and you know that as well as I do. If you've got 24K and you want to buy a hot hatch and you want something cheeky and fun, get a manual, only a manual Swift Sport. Do it.
Listen to him. Manual only. We've also got another email from a wonderful listener, Murray, who I think you might remember, Mike, a little while ago asked us.
Jeremy and I to have some fisticuffs over compact.
It's true. There were fights in here about the Kia Sportage, and anyway, it was controversial. Murray was tossing up what to buy about a compact SUV, and it was between the Kia Sportage and the Hyundai iX35, and they've gone with the Hyundai, and they're very happy. So well done to Murray.
On you, Murray. Good
we're
stuff,
happy
mate.
For you. Very happy for you. A little bit more fender bender coming up just around the corner for you.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Very true. The Radiothon is coming up very soon for Joy 94.9. It's time to dig deep and give us some money, yo. You have been listening to Fender Bender. We've come to the end of the show, guys, which is, you know,
it goes
always
so
happens.
Quick.
It really does,
it
doesn't
does,
it?
Yeah. Like sand through the hourglass. These are the minutes of our show.
It's true.
So little time, so much to talk about.
I know. Yeah. But look, thanks to both of you, Mike and Byron. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me and you, I guess.
Always. He's always had.
Yeah. Exactly.
He enjoys
I'm
being
part
had.
Of the furniture now.
It's true. Big thank you to Heath on the phones, of course. And thanks to Simon Reichelt talking about 65 Roses
dig deep.
Day. Absolutely dig deep.
Great cause.
Yeah, very much so.
Byron might be the better one to talk
MC
about.
MC Adam from Beastie Boys.
We lost a luminary today.
Yeah.
Only 47, and it's just tragic.
As you're listening to Fender Bender, we'll be back next week.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.